Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the Church today.
Hello and welcome to The Lutheran Inquisitor. I'm your host, John Ehlers, pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Orpington, Kent. I'd like to invite you to come and join with all the saints as we gather together each Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. for the Divine Service. I know you'll receive a warm welcome. And if you don't live in the area, I'd encourage you to go to our website, lutheran.co.uk, to find the Lutheran congregation that's nearest to you and pay them a visit. I'd also like to remind you that our new mobile phone app is available at Windows Store, at Google Play, or the App Store. Go and download it for free and take Lutheran Radio with you wherever you go. And if you'd like to listen to any previous broadcast of the Lutheran Inquisitor or any other show broadcast on Lutheran Radio UK, then head over to our website and check out all the downloads that are available there for free. Today, we continue our discussion with Dr. James Nestegen, who is Professor Emeritus of Church History at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota, and also Adjunct Professor for the North American Lutheran Seminary. Last week, we were talking about the distinctive teachings of Lutheranism and about Luther and his great sense of humor. And that's kind of where we ended it. So we'd like to welcome back to Lutheran Radio UK, Dr. James Nestegen. Dr. Nestegen, last week we finished by discussing Luther's sense of humor. And Luther could say some things that we might say in England get a bit close to the bone. I remember hearing a Methodist lecturing to a class of Methodist seminary students. And he began his talk by saying to his students, "Be prepared, because when you read Luther, you're going to hear some things that you will never, ever have heard before in a Methodist church." So when we read Luther, we really do need to buckle our seatbelts, don't we?
Well, we do that to the Methodists for their growth and development. Us Lutherans have to come along and shake them loose a little bit.
So, Dr. Nestegen, if someone is interested in reading Luther, where do you recommend that they begin?
Okay, here's a short list. If you want to just read a little, then I would recommend that you pick up a copy of Luther's Small Catechism, which is brief, but deep as well. It concerns the commandments, the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, the two sacraments, and absolution. That is baptism, absolution, and the Lord's Supper.
Can you give us some background on why Luther wrote the Small Catechism?
In the late 1520s, the Lutherans started to assess what was going on in the congregations. The Reformation is often described as an elitist movement, and in some sense it was. It was started by academics, generally pushed by academics from all over Europe, and by the princes. So there were people of some standing. But they were very concerned about what was happening in the communities and in the homes. And so they did a survey of late medieval life. I remember one time when I was sent to Cameroon to teach. I flew into Douala on the coast. My wife and I flew into Douala, and we drove 500 miles across roads through the jungle up into a town called Garabulai, right on the border with Chad. And we got up there, or the Central African Republic. We drove through towns where everybody in town was drunk. And we drove through towns where, along the way, where the social disorder was, you know, transparent as we drove through. Late medieval life was pretty basic. You know, once you start going into people's homes, you learn things about them. This is one of the shocks of many of my students who become pastors. They learn how people live, and people don't always live the way you wish they did. And so there was a lot of sexual disorder, and there was, you know, the priests, of course, were some of the most abusive sexually. I mean, they officially celibate, but privately opportunistic. When I was in Africa, there was a little town where every kid in town looked like the priest. I mean, that's, you know, that was fairly common in those days. So when Luther and the Lutherans started finding out about this, the question was how to proceed. And Luther wrote this little document, the Small Catechism, to explain what God requires, to declare what God gives, to teach people how to get in touch with God through prayer, and to celebrate the sacraments, baptism, absolution, Lord's Supper. And this document became one of the most famous of the Reformation. It's still used by Lutherans. He wrote a large catechism along with the small.
So how is the large catechism distinct from the small catechism?
There's a much more developed discussion. When the small catechism is genuinely small, many Lutherans still have it memorized and can recite it. You can get a copy for a very cheap price from any Lutheran publisher. But it's the large catechism expands and develops what's in more concentrated portions in the small catechism. It's more relaxed and it's more discursive and it's more fun. Luther starts joking and fooling around. I mean, I remember one time I was teaching out in California of all places, and I was using some stuff from the small catechism. There was a hotshot there from the .com explosion in California, and he had more money than he knew what to do with, had invested in Google at an early point in its development, and so had a fortune. And he used a very small proportion of it to buy large catechisms for the whole congregation. That's just a lot of fun. So that's one. And so you can use those two, the small and the large catechism. And here's a couple more. In 1520, Luther wrote three sermons that became very important to the Reformation. They circulated through Germany and all over Europe, even down into Spain, of all places. They circulated in pocket-sized editions. The best one is called The Freedom of the Christian. Freedom again. Here he is. This time he's defining it, and very closely. I mean, my grandpa was a patriotic Canadian. He always said, if you want to frustrate an American, ask him what freedom is. He'll stand there rocking from one foot to another, trying to figure it out, and finally he'll tell you, well, it's freedom to set other people free. That's cheating. He doesn't know what it is. So Luther knows what it is. Freedom is freedom from yourself, to be extracted out of yourself. It's like the problem is that, like a self-conscious young man on a date, we can't forget ourselves. We're always working on ourselves. A self-conscious young woman who believes she's being scrutinized all the time, you know, and is adjusting her dress and touching her hair and scared to death of what somebody might see. I mean, that's bondage. But when you get freed from yourself, then you're freed for your neighbor. And then all of a sudden things turn out to be fun. I always say it's like this. If you go to a movie and you're sitting watching the movie about 15 minutes in and you say, am I having fun yet? Am I enjoying this yet? Then you know it's a bad movie. But when there's a genuinely good movie, you sit down in the movie and you get caught up in it. And when the movie ends, you rub your eyes and you say, now what was I doing? you've been taken outside yourself and brought to rest. Then you can be some good to the other, you know. But freedom from yourself is the freedom to enter into life, you know, to rejoice and It's like listening to music. I love classical music, and I listen to all kinds of British recordings, of course, because of the great industry of, you know, the recording companies in Britain. And when you listen to, you know, good music, good classical music, you don't have to say to yourself, is this ever going to get anywhere? I mean, but when it's good, you say, wow. I mean, you just get taken up in the music, and your hand starts to tap and your foot, and pretty soon you're moving with the music, you're rejoicing in it, you know. I mean, listening to some of the Beethoven piano sonatas, you know, that guy was just Looney Tunes, I think, you know, it's crazy, but you get into those piano sonatas and they take you over. You just get carried up. I mean, the music is being music to you then. And Christ Jesus is being Christ Jesus to you when he pulls you out of your self-absorption and frees you to enter into life. I mean, that's more fun than a barrel of monkeys. So that's why I'm a Lutheran.
Now, can you give any words of encouragement to our listeners who might be wondering if they should ever attend a Lutheran church or not?
I would advise them to, first of all, I have to tell you a story. One of my dear friends went to Cambridge on a sabbatical, and it was the blessing of the Pet Sunday, the first, say, I don't know the official name of that, but he was sitting in the pew, and a couple came in with a Doberman Pinscher, who mounted up on the pew and sat beside my friend at church. Maybe you should go to that church first. That would be an easier adjustment, you know. But one of the things about Lutherans is we generally don't care for pretenses. Generally, we take some pride in our sins. We enjoy being sinners, and we're not in too big a hurry to be done with that. I mean, we get real nervous around Methodists, you know. I mean, you know, I start getting itchy, and I start thinking of my pet sins, you know. I want to hurry home and enjoy one. I mean, we don't have a lot of pretenses. We shouldn't, anyway. I suppose we all have some. I mean, I imagine there are some of us that have a lot of them. But generally, we start by confessing our sins. You don't have to do that out loud. I mean, we prefer that you don't do it out loud, really. I have a friend back home who's 94 years old now, and he said when he heard his first confession, he was shocked. And he said, "You what?" I mean, you don't want to do that. I mean, you're kidding. You didn't. No, but you can confess, and if you confess, you can be assured of this, that God is going to greet your confession with these words, "Your sins are forgiven for Jesus' sake." That's the heart of it for us. That's the heart of it. That's really fun. Everything rides on that.
It all rides on Jesus. So, that's what it means to be Lutheran?
You know, I travel around the States preaching here and there for Lutherans, and I was down in Savannah, Georgia. And I was teaching full-time at that time and preaching on the weekends, so I was not getting my day off. I mean, I was exhausted. And so when I got to the airport, I went into the men's room and took off my clerical collar. Funny things happen to people with clerical collars on airplanes. The first turbulence and the confession opens, you know. People want to talk and they're anxious and so forth. And I wanted sleep, so I took off my clergy collar and I put on another shirt, and I got on the plane and I sat down. I am a fairly large person, and there was a person of equal size in the middle seat. That's how it works, you know. One attracts the other. So I sat down, and the man turned to me and he said, "You're a preacher, aren't you?" Well, I had taken some considerable care to disguise that fact, and I was looking to avoid that identity, you know. But, of course, I had to tell him the truth. I had to say, I am. He said, you're Lutheran. I said, I am. He said, the most dreaded words, he said, mind if we talk? So I said, well, go right ahead, we'll talk. So he started talking, and pretty soon he was confessing. He was a Vietnam vet, about the same age as me. And he started confessing. And the more he confessed, the more he wanted to confess. The first 2 hours of the flight, that's about all he did was confess. Most of it involving his time in Vietnam. It was dreadful. He had been under a great deal of pain. And so he finished. He started to repeat himself a little bit. And I said to him, have you confessed the sins that are most troublesome to you now? He said, I didn't even know I was confessing. And I said, well, that's about all you've done since you sat down. And I said, I'm under orders from the Lord Jesus when I hear something like this to say this to you. And I stood up, just about scared the cabin attendant out of her wits. I stood up and I put my hands on his head and I said this, in the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. He squealed. And then he wept, and he just wept and wept and wept. I sat and held him while he cried, and he said, that's the best thing I ever heard in my life. Can it possibly be true? I absolved him every day for the next 10 days. When we were getting off the plane, he said to me, I can't thank you enough for this. I said, well, I want to ask you a favor. Tell me how you knew I was a Lutheran pastor. He said, well, he said, I saw you changing shirts in the men's room. And then I saw you with that blonde, and I knew you were no priest. Well, that blonde was my wife. I saw your arm around her, and I saw you touching her in a way that a husband touches a wife. So it was great.
Dr. Nestegen, we'd like to thank you so much for our time together. Keep on smiling, and we pray God's richest blessings on you as you continue in your teaching of students from all over the world what it is to be a Lutheran. May God richly bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.